Hello listeners, it's Mark here. The show you're about to hear isn't up to our normal standards of sound quality, and I thought it was worth taking a couple of minutes to explain why that is. This week's show was going to feature me, Laura and Tony, as Alan was busy with the Ubuntu Online Summit. Unfortunately, Tony was unable to make it at short notice, so it ended up with just me and Laura. Now, doing a four-person show with two people isn't easy, but it was made more difficult by the fact that Tony normally brings the sound card we use to record, meaning that we had to make some radical changes to our tried and tested setup at the last minute. The effect of this is that you'll notice some quite unpleasant distortion in some parts of the recording, particularly in my voice. If you stick with it until after the introduction, we did manage to make some adjustments to improve things for the news section onwards, and we'll be doing what we can in post-production to clean it up further. Despite these problems, we hope that the content of the show makes it worth listening, and we'll be back on form with our regular setup for the next live show.
It's Wednesday the 12th of November and we're going to discuss what's been happening in the news and in the Ubuntu community. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat thing on the website and in the #UUPCIRC channel. I'm Laura and joining me this week is Mark!
Hello!
And a podcat.
Oh!
And that's it.
What happened to everyone else then?
Oh, who knows?
Was it something we said?
It must have been. And they're taking off the kit with them as well.
Okay, so yeah, we're going a bit ballsy to our pants tonight, but I'm sure that'll just make the show all the better.
I'm sure it will. But we're kind of hacking things together and fudging things quite a bit. I think we've changed every cable and every microphone round at least twice tonight.
But I'm sure you won't notice.
It'll be fine.
Excellent. Sounds like a fun-packed show.
So apparently there's been a major security flaw in Windows.
In Windows?
Yeah, fancy that.
Okay.
Nobody found it apparently for nearly 20 years.
20 years?
Who'd have thought?
Wow, so it's not just these cowboy open source, you know, one man in his basement projects that get these major security flaws which hang around all the time.
Seems not.
That's interesting. So I wonder if everyone's going to make a big fuss about this and decide that maybe proprietary software isn't safe to use after all.
That no software is what safe to
yeah,
use.
Yeah, no software is safe to use because none of it is secure.
It's almost like there is just so much code that nobody sits there reading it all the time.
Writing software must be hard or something.
Yeah.
Right, so this is a security flaw which allows for remote code execution in Windows, which has apparently been there since Windows 95, and has only just been discovered by a team at IBM.
Yeah, woo!
Go team IBM. So it's been patched, and a fix has been released, but only for supported versions of Windows. So if anyone is running a version XP or older, then they will still have this nice code execution bug sitting around. Which apparently is a 9.3 out of 10 on the severity scale.
10 being really bad.
Yes.
Interestingly, I was at a Barclays Cash Point ATM machine the other day.
Yep.
And it happened to reboot.
Oh, right. And what was that running? Dare I ask.
XP.
Good.
So, yeah.
I guess it's some sort of special embedded version rather than just, you know, the version that you download off BitTorrent. I mean, get with your computer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, even so, it does kind of make you worry about all of these things. I mean, again, I assume that if banks are using them, then they also have some kind of extended support thing with Microsoft.
I figure they must have done.
Yeah.
But still. Hmm.
Yeah, it's a worry, isn't it? But, yes. Also, interestingly, I haven't noticed yet, no one appears to have come up with a name or a logo for this this security flaw, which I thought was, you know...
De rigueur.
Is that your name for it?
Yeah, that's what we call it. De rigueur. Okay.
So what's up next? Oh, it's probably me to say the next thing, isn't it? So next in the news, Microsoft has announced that they're going to be porting the server-side part of the .NET stack to Mac and Linux and open sourcing it under the MIT license.
Ooh.
So this is apparently something which has been going on for quite a while, where they've been open sourcing various parts of .NET, of like the tool chain and everything. So this is now sort of the final core bit which they needed to open source, so that you can now have a completely open source .NET application server. So for example, you can now run ASP.NET applications on a completely open source stack.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So
they're working with Monar to do that.
Yeah. So in fact, in the blog post where it was announced, they specifically said everyone, including Mono, will be able to see the source code. So it means improvements to Mono and a better or a more versatile platform for application developers.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they're doing with it is they're bundling a web server with it, so that if you want to run it, because obviously normally it runs on iOS, and you've got a module for Apache, I think, to run Mono applications, but just as an easier way, or maybe just for intended for development environments, it's going to come bundled with a web server for running ASP.NET applications, and then you could stick something like Nginx in front of it as a reverse proxy if you wanted to then open that up. As a proper deployment.
Yeah, and apparently the plan is to stick all this into GitHub.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool kids are.
Yeah. So pull requests welcome, I assume. There's been sort of Microsoft stuff going on GitHub for a while, and that's where this is all going to live. Under the MIT license. And there's also they've also done a patent promise that if there's any of their patents which are implemented under this, then you're free to use them, basically.
Yeah, and specifically the aim is to get it onto Linux and macOS, isn't it?
So, you know, good on Microsoft.
Indeed. So next up, we've got a story about the Internet Archive, which is now host to the Internet Arcade, which is a collection of over 900 arcade games playable in a web browser.
So, yeah, the Internet Archive is the I think the Wayback Machine is probably the thing that people are most familiar with from the Internet Archive. So that's where you can go and look at a website from a particular point in the past where it, like, captures... it's usually just the HTML, so you don't get any of the CSS. You just get sort of what the content was on the page at the time. They've added this main emulator to it.
Yeah.
So I think, because they also archive other files, because I think you can upload certain videos and video and audio stuff there, and apparently games as well. And now you can play those games.
Cool.
And they've actually managed to. I wasn't aware that this actually existed as a thing, but you can also use the JavaScript gamepad API. So if you've got a gamepad plugged into your computer, you can play games in your browser, arcade games in your browser with a gamepad.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like you're practically at an arcade.
Yeah, although you'd have to have one of those big old joysticks and like a button on the table to mash furiously to have the real experience. But yeah, it's quite clever. And yeah, it's basically a port of the main emulators, which have been around for a long time, but ported to JavaScript.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Apparently you still sound a bit distorted.
Okay.
I think you'll be in the next room if you step back any further.
I will. I'll try turning myself down a notch.
Okay.
I'll
Thank
go
you,
for that.
People in IRC. You've been very helpful tonight. So next up, we've got something that's slightly confusing because I've not read it, but it looks like a competition for decrypting telegrams, and I sort of think that we're in the wrong century for that. But
right, so Telegram is an open source messaging application, a bit like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger,
okay,
something like that. So it's for sending text messages or picture messages or video messages over the internet. The difference being to things like WhatsApp is that it's all heavily end-to-end encrypted, which means their focus is on privacy. They're funded by, I think, a philanthropist.
Philanthropic?
Yes, philanthropically funded. So they don't have to worry about, managing to monetize their users. They're just funded by a guy who wants this to exist and is going to fund it for now.
And so they're challenging people to...
Yeah, basically, they want to make sure that their crypto is secure. So they ran a competition before, no one managed to do it, so they've upped the stakes a bit. I think they're giving a bigger prize, and they're also letting people, because it's an open source thing, you can do your own implementations of it.
Okay.
So they're letting people be the server that the users are communicating through, to give them, rather than just like sniffing the traffic on the wire, give them an extra advantage to see if they, you know, if they're actually there in the middle and all the messages are going through them, can they then crack it where they couldn't before?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's an interesting way of finding flaws, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't really understand enough crypto to really appreciate this. But
Sounds cool.
It does sound cool, doesn't it? All crypto stuff sounds cool.
It does.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have to understand the little bits of it.
Too much maths.
Yeah.
Too much to go wrong when it seems like it could be so simple.
Yes. You just completely missed the point of something. Yeah. So the next one, I've got no idea what it's about.
No,
it says chickens.
Nah, should we skip that one?
Let's skip the chicken.
The reason there's nothing there is because I didn't understand it. Something about huge performance gains because of possibly a bit being set wrong in a driver.
Okay.
So Tony will like this because it's about gaming performance, but unfortunately he's not here to talk about it, so we'll have to skip over that. So next in the news, the Free Software Foundation and the Software Freedom Conservancy have launched copyleft.org, which is a site to give out information about copyleft licensing and also just generally about free software stuff, this concept of software freedom and how copyleft relates to that.
Okay.
So copyleft being an open source license which requires you to release any modifications under the same license that you receive it under.
And that's sort of a subpart of GPL type licenses.
GPL is a copyleft license.
Oh, okay, that way around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't understand it, you can read the helpful 142-page guide on copyleft.org. And if you get through that and you find something interesting, do let us know.
Yep.
What's next, Laura?
The Raspberry Pi Foundation's announced the newest and cheapest model of Raspberry Pi, the Model A+.
Cool. So what's different? Because there was a Model A, but I never actually saw a Model A.
I don't know what the original one was. The most recent one was a B+.
Yeah, so there was an A and a B, and then they released the B+, and now they've released an A+.
Right, so B must be what I've got.
Yes.
Okay. So it has many of the improvements of the B+, including better power and sound hardware, but is much smaller with no Ethernet, a single USB port, and 256 meg of RAM.
Cool. Wow. So yeah, it seems to be sort of mainly used for sort of specialist hardware hackery things where you need something very low power and very light, but with
must be wireless.
It is wireless. If you'd have to plug in a wireless adapter if you want internet connectivity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just you plug in a keyboard and plug it into a monitor and set it up.
Yeah, because if you're using it on your TV or whatever, you don't need...
Yeah, exactly. If you just want to do stuff locally, and it's got an SD card, and it does have the... it's got the GPIO pins, same as a Model B, and it's got the camera connector. So one of the uses for the Model A, which they cited in their announcement, was that there's a guy who buys them and attaches them to weather balloons and like sends them up and then takes pictures and then drops them back to Earth. In that situation, you need something that's very light and very low power. So it's a good use case.
Oh, yeah. So we could end up with lots of Raspberry Pis flying down from the sky.
And speaking of that, we should probably move on, because otherwise we're going to run out of time if we try and read
that. That's what I was just trying to calculate out, because we haven't got the clock on today. No. So we're winging it.
But just in the vein of... things falling out of the sky. The final news story is that a robot has landed on a comet today, which I thought was quite cool.
Yeah, it's been all over Twitter today.
Yeah. Did you watch the XKCD thing?
I didn't. I saw bits of it, but I didn't know about it till later.
Yeah, Randall Munro, the guy who does XKCD, the brilliant webcomic, was doing a live comic of each stage of the descent.
That's awesome.
The various imagined conversations going on between the satellite and the probe and Earth and the comet and whales and harpoons.
Yes, I saw a bit about the harpoons.
Yeah, apparently the top thruster stopped working, which was the bit which was supposed to hold it onto the comet while it connected and grabbed on, and so they had to hope that it managed to fire a harpoon in and reel itself in, which it did.
Oh, it did. So it's all good.
Yes. Yeah, because there's no gravity, which meant that basically it got like pushed off from the satellite and then had to float.
It was the momentum.
With the momentum, had to float into the comet and then hold on as soon as it got there.
Wow.
Yeah. So hopefully we're going to find out some interesting things about comets.
Yeah. Yeah. That Bruce Willis couldn't tell us.
Yeah.
Are we going to do gaming news? Oh,
I feel like I don't want to leave Tony out, but I feel like we should let people know the gaming news.
I think we should, because it is important.
It is important. Yeah, and he'll be upset with us if we don't do
it. Yeah, because he will listen back to this.
He will, yeah. So the Humble Bundles Humble Store, which is a subsection of the Humble Bundle site, where you can buy individual games at limited time discounts, with a portion of that going to charities, is 1 year old.
Ooh.
And in that time, they've managed to give over $1.5 million to charity, which means they've made over $15 million, because 10% of the profits go to charity. Or
only 1 year?
Yeah.
It seems like they've been around ages.
Well, Humble Bundle has been around ages, but the Humble Store hasn't.
Oh, where you can just buy
stuff. This is just buying single games.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
$15 million. Wow.
Well, yeah. That's a lot of games. The thing is, the difference with the Humble Store is that they are not only Linux games and not only DRM-free games. Some of these are just like Steam games for Windows, where they do a special offer and give some of the money to charity. But they did give away a free game as part of the offer. Metro 2033, which I've downloaded. Well, no, I've got my free copy, but I've not played it yet. So I've got no idea what it's like. I'm sure Tony could tell us if he was here, but unfortunately not. So maybe we should move on.
Well, quickly.
Yes.
We've got some up-to-date news on the landing on the comet.
Oh, yes.
Stefan66 says it has bounced, apparently.
Bounced?
Super Engineer adds, 50% of the data shows it bounced. The other 50 says it's on the ground. They are confused.
Well, hopefully by the time this goes out, we'll have a clearer picture.
Yeah. You heard it here.
And that's all the news.
And now it's time for some community news.
And what's going on in the community?
Well, first of all, the sad news that Linux Outlaws will be no more.
No more?
No more.
What's happened to them?
I'm not sure, but they're recording live tonight like we are, and I'm sure it's probably going better for them. But yes, no, I don't actually know why.
I did listen to their announcement. Well, it's not so much that. It's more that, you know, it's called Linux Outlaws, but over the years, they feel like they've become less about Linux and more about Outlaws. They've changed the kind of stuff they talk about, and they don't necessarily feel that they've got the drive to give people what they expect from a Linux Outlaws show. So they're going to take a break from podcasting. They're doing a few final episodes now, which is why they're still on, and they're going to take a break from podcasting and then maybe revisit it next year.
As a different podcast?
More
technology generally.
I think that remains to be seen, basically, whatever they decide to do. So, yes, they're not going away.
And this doesn't affect Odd Camp.
This doesn't affect Odd Camp.
I did see that announcement.
Yes. In fact, if you're interested in Odd Camp, we've actually started an online forum to discuss ideas about Odd Camp. So if you have anything which you'd like to say in terms of feedback about the event, ideas for future years, I'm not going to say next year.
That's too much for commitment right now.
It might happen next year. If you do want it to happen next year, then come along to the forum.
Definitely come along.
Yes, so if you go to the website at og.camp, and then you go to click on the community link at the top, then you'll get into the forum. It's hosted by Six Gun, which is where Linux Outlaws currently reside.
Yeah.
So it'll be on their forum as a category on there. And just I've started a few discussion topics just to get some ideas going. And if you've got any thoughts, just chip in.
Cool. That's a really good idea.
I thought so.
Yeah, and it's kind of very forward-looking, because normally we wait until after Christmas and then we panic.
Yeah, and then we think, oh, maybe we'll be able to get some other people to help out. And then we don't know what we want people to do, whereas if people can come to us with ideas, then that might be about
that's
doing
a great idea.
One of the things that I really want to happen, which a lot of people were talking about this time, was a kids track.
Yes,
and there seemed to be a lot of enthusiasm for that, so hopefully Sprog Camp, if we can get like all the people who are talking about that together to actually maybe come up with a concrete idea for that, then maybe next year it will happen.
That'd be really
cool. Next time it will happen.
Yeah. Yes, next time.
A few more things for the Ubuntu community. Canonical have announced the LexD project, which is a hypervisor for virtualization, except it's based on the Linux containers project,
right,
which provides a very lightweight way of wrapping up a virtual environment,
okay,
in a container, which can then be sort of redeployed across across different container environments.
How is that different containers from, say, just taking a VMware virtual machine and putting it on VMware on any other machine?
Okay, so the difference between a virtual machine and a container,
mm-hmm,
is that a container is running on the same kernel, I believe, as the host, but okay, in a sort of kind of like a ch-rooted environment, but implemented differently.
Do you pronounce it ch-root? I always said ch-root.
Yeah, I say ch-root.
Okay.
But what they're doing here is they're trying to make containers, in terms of the hardware support, the same level. So they have direct support in the hardware for a hypervisor designed for running containers, like there is with a virtualization platform.
Okay. Oh, cool.
This is what I've gleaned from a blog post. So there's probably virtualization experts listening in screaming.
No!
So if you have a better explanation for this, do email in.
Don't phone us, because we're not sure if the phone works. The voicemail.
Oh, yes.
Email us. Record it and then send us the MP3 to download.
That's a good idea. Do we have any events?
Oh, do we have events? You have to be very quick off the mark this week with the events.
Yes.
So at the moment, we've got the Ubuntu something online summit.
Right.
What was UDS
is
now UOS.
Right.
It's a bit less catchy. But that's where Alan is tonight, to be fair. He's got so busy submitting sessions and realised that all these sessions were running when we were recording the podcast.
Ah.
So if you don't know, don't flip over right now, but yeah, he will be there.
If you miss Alan's dulcet tones, yeah, then you'll probably find him in a Google Hangout.
Yeah, so we're talking about
a cat
mobile
on him.
Yes. So the Ubuntu Online Summit is where they plan the future, yes, releases of Ubuntu.
So that's running today as we record and for the next 2 days. So,
which is till the Friday the 14th,
yes,
of November.
So if you listen to this on release day and you weren't aware of it, then you can still get involved.
Yeah. And another one, if you're really quick off the mark, it's the 15th, which is this Saturday, I think.
Yep.
The 15th of November is Inspire Women in Technology, I think it's called. And John, the nice guy, Spriggs, kindly sent this in. And it's a Women in Technology event, but it's for everybody.
Right.
I remember looking at the website.
Well, I saw it was called Inspire Wit, and I thought it might be a comedy festival.
Yeah, I think Wit, it means the women in IT.
Women in technology.
Technology, because IT wouldn't work. Yes. But yes, and it's...
So is it a conference about women in technology, or is it a conference featuring women in technology?
I think it's neither.
Oh, okay.
It's a conference.
Bad name.
It starts off and it says a conference for women, and then it changes to a conference for students, and then a conference for women, then a conference for men. So I think it's basically for everyone, but they're just making... I wonder if it's organised by... We're just speculating now. You should just go to the website, which we'll put in the show notes, and is www.inspirewit.com. But it does actually look quite good.
Cool. Well, yes. If you're quick off the mark, then go and check it out.
And that's all for episode 33, and we'll be back next week when, well, we'll be talking about some stuff.
And maybe to some people.
Yes, yes. We were hoping to have an interview. The interview may or may not happen, but in the live show we'll definitely be talking about stuff. So we'll see you then.
Yes, we will see you then.
Well, we've got some music.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll have everything running
a bit smoother.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.